welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
Imagine a moment in your life where you have the deep feeling of being enough, of giving enough, of being loved for who you are rather than for what you do or what you have achieved, and for loving yourself, not for what you have accomplished, but simply for showing up. That's what we're talking about in today's episode. This week is about volunteering, giving the gift of yourself today in an organic conversation and the effect it has on the world around you.
Well, listening to your intro reminds me of a quote by the Dalai Lama, and it goes, "We are visitors on this planet. We are here for 100 years at the very most. During that period, we must try to do something good, something useful with our lives. If you contribute to other people's happiness, you will find the true meaning of life." And I think that is truly what volunteering and being of service is.
That's so true. Yeah. Actually, it was my fellow AOC hosts who encouraged me this time last year to volunteer in the Bay Area on Thanksgiving, because I'm used to traveling for family and living here in the Bay Area. I didn't do that last year. And, you know, it was so interesting to see the community rally around, and everybody wanted to volunteer when this idea came up that we were going to go and do, you know, food service on Thanksgiving Day. And what I want to explore in this episode, though, really is, are there really more needs during the holiday season, or are we looking to try and provide service throughout the rest of the year, which is really how we find this meaning of life?
Yes, we'll find out in today's hour about volunteering. And Mark, when you say the meaning, it's so funny how we are all on this quest, more or less, or more conscious for some people than others, or present. But, you know, from books to workshops, this is the San Francisco Bay Area, and there's a lot you can do and attend, and really great work. But when you read to, you know, somebody who can't read, a child or some, you know, in those moments, and yeah, coming back to you, Sita, last year this time, I just got to play an hour of music, and that was the easiest thing for me to do, and it brought the most joy for me to see the response. It was incredible. If I've ever touched the meaning of life, that was it. And it was so simple. So this will be a fantastic hour.
Yeah, but first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. GMO labeling proposition defeated in California. Yes on 37, the California Right to Know campaign that aimed to mandate labeling for genetically engineered foods and ingredients sold in the state of California was narrowly defeated in last week's election with a vote of 47% in favor to 53% against. The campaign issued a statement following the law saying, "Today, we are more than 4 million votes closer to knowing what's in our food than when we started. This is a victory and a giant step forward." Supporters of the measure are hopeful that President Obama will create a federal mandate for labeling genetically modified foods, an intention he voiced during his 2007 presidential campaign. Hope increases for climate change regulation following election and Hurricane Sandy. Environmental groups throughout the country are speaking up about expectations for the White House to put a stronger focus on environmental challenges and the threat of global warming in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. With his reelection, President Obama has the opportunity to fulfill the promise of his campaign and tackle the greatest challenges of our generation, said Andrew Steer, the president of the World Resources Institute, in an email statement late Tuesday night. Steer also stated that at the top of the list should be climate change, which is already taking a serious toll on people, property, resources, and the economy. And speaking of environmental protection, a study published by the University of Queensland, Australia, points to industrial agriculture, a part of the expansion of the European settlement in Australia, as the reason for massive coral collapse at the Great Barrier Reef. The study found that runoff from farms clouded the pristine waters off the Queensland coast and killed the naturally branching coral species, leaving a stunted weed type of coral in its place. The findings suggest that even decades before climate change and reef tourism, humans were already disrupting the ecology of the Great Barrier Reef through intense improper agricultural management. And software giant Adobe wins a prestigious environmental award. Digital marketing company Adobe was recently awarded the Zero Waste Advocate Award by the Environmental Protection Agency for proactive, responsible waste management at their San Jose, California headquarters. EPA Regional Administrator Jared Blumfeld said, "Office waste is a significant part of the Bay Area's trash and landfills across the country. The EPA honored Adobe's successful program that prevents 100% of their solid waste from ending up in landfills, a program that began as a pilot initiative in 2003 and is now a model for offices across the nation." And those are your green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thanks, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. The election week.
Yeah, big week. A lot of really important decisions made. And, you know, I'm of course, disappointed that Yes on 37 didn't pass. I think it really came down to a matter of education. I ran into a lot of people on the day of the election who said, "Well, I voted no on 37 because I didn't really understand it."
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And even people where it was clear that, you know, how they would vote and that they would support genetic engineered foods labeling. It's like, yeah, I was confused at the end.
Yeah.
So that $40 million campaign against Yes on 37 did its trick, unfortunately.
But I like what the Yes campaign said in, you know, afterwards, which we said in the news, which is now we're 4 million people closer to knowing what's in our food, because that's the support. And the more that those people inform other people, because it comes down to education, the closer we're going to get to having labeling and knowing what's in our food.
Yeah, 4 million people, despite a $40 million campaign to confuse people. And also, I like what Albert Strauss said. Albert Strauss, from Strauss Family Creamery, one of the leading organically committed creameries, the first actually creamery that went organic west of the Mississippi many, many, many years ago. He said last week that he believes the food companies might have heard the message, and that, you know, even large conglomerates, large food companies might now consider using non-GMO ingredients for high fructose corn syrup, for example, because 4 million people, you know, voted in favor of labeling. So there might be a voluntary labeling claim of does not contain GMOs, rather than the opposite of labeling that it does contain GMOs. There might be a volunteering effort of stating that your product is GMO-free.
Yeah, I found that to be a really hopeful message. When he said, you know, if Yes passes, this was before the election, he said, if Yes passes, I'm concerned that it's going to get tied up in legal battles for 2 years before we see anything enacted. But if it doesn't pass, exactly what you said, Helga, summarizing his words, which is the companies are going to get the message. They're going to voluntarily start putting things on their on their packages. And I've already seen that, actually. I've seen particularly a lot of the soy companies that have vegetarian and vegan alternatives, meat alternatives. They're saying non-GMO because they know that people want to know.
It's like gluten-free. You know, can find eggs that are saying gluten-free. I saw the first bus, the public transportation, but it was actually for an Indian restaurant that it said gluten-free. And I thought, oh, that's the first gluten-free bus I've ever seen.
But
yeah, we might see more there. Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much, Jen Lloyd, for that weekly update. And we'll keep on it. Yes on 37, even though the election is over, the topic is not. So we'll get back to that. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And today we're bringing you another slice of joy after a great show on pie last week. This week's slice of joy is about yourself volunteering, giving the gift of yourself today and only here in An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right. As he goes left and you stay right. Between the lines, fear and blame.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is volunteering, giving the gift of yourself. Many, if not most, of the social services offered in this country and around the world rely on or depend on volunteers. Especially this time of year, but really throughout the entire year, millions of people would not be cared for if it wasn't for us simply showing up. The beauty of volunteering is that there's almost no pre-required skill set necessary. Anyone can do it. In fact, just being you is enough to make someone else happy and cared for and complete. From reading a book to someone, to serving food, to simply listening to someone's story, our sheer presence of ourselves just for a couple of hours can make someone else's day and life. Volunteering, giving the gift of yourself, our topic in today's show. And with us here in the studio is Carl Robillard, the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager at St. Anthony's in San Francisco, a well-known institution that has provided services for many, many years. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Carl, you've been doing this for many years already with St. Anthony's. You've been working for and with them for 11 years. Mm-hmm. How did you get into this work and what made you stay for 11 years?
That's a great question. You know, I moved to San Francisco when I was 25. I, you know, recently finished college and was in that moment where I was eager to really get involved with the community. And the 2 months before I moved to San Francisco, I was able to volunteer in India. So I did 2 months of volunteer work, you know, totally.
Doing what?
I worked with the Missionaries of Charity. It was something that I just did sort of on the spot. I didn't give a lot of thought, but there was some extremely profound experiences working in that environment.
And what was your work like? You gave out food or what was
we did two things. One of it was working in an orphanage and one of it was actually working at the Home for the Dying. And I had read about this and, you know, had been aware of Mother Teresa's work. And when I got there, she had died already. But in what happens to an individual in these situations is profound and immediate. And things become very clear. And I had been working previous to that in an outdoor education field, which I absolutely loved. But that experience made me realize I really yearned to do something that had a huge impact. And the truth is, you don't need to go to Calcutta, India to do that. I mean, you can do that in most of the communities right where you live. So when I moved to San Francisco, I really had a focus on getting a job similar to that. So I interviewed for St. Anthony's. The best part is I actually didn't get the job. I had to wait. I just sort of used
my patience. He's not the senior manager.
No.
Sorry. Correction.
And that's this week's edition. Right?
Yes. I didn't get it on the first try and had to do all kinds of things in the interim. The dot-com boom had just busted. So there was lots of very qualified people applying for very few jobs. And it really took me a long time. And in the second go-round, I was able to get a job. And I started working in our dining room as our volunteer coordinator. That was my first job.
Wow. That's a perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, that's a perfect segue, dining room.
It is, because most people, when they think of volunteering, especially at this holiday season, they think about food. They think about serving food for the holidays. But I know that there are so many other services that you do at St. Anthony's. Can you kind of show us some of the things that you're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the little taglines we use is more than meals, mm-hmm. because the model is that it's really a gateway program. So you would assume that people would come there because they're hungry, because they need food. And at that point, there's what we would call and nonprofit touch points to get them extra help and really to move them to stability. The idea of stability could be a conversation in an entire show on its own. But what we mean by that is it may mean getting somebody in a recovery program. So we run through our Father Alfred Center a year-long drug and alcohol recovery program. It may mean as something as small as getting someone an email account, which we do in a technology training program. It could mean getting a California ID, which we do in our social work center. I mean, those are three examples of ways that you can really move people from hunger to stability.
And you do all of that with volunteer work?
The majority of the work we do is volunteer work. Wow. Absolutely. We have about 10,000 individuals who come through each year.
And you know, when I was listening to Helga and Sita talk about volunteering last year, you know, I instantly went right there of, you know, working in the dining room and Helga was playing piano and people asked him if he could sing a song for them and all that type of thing. But when you just were talking, it's like something new had just occurred for me. The fact that someone doesn't have an ID And so that is going to keep them from so many things in life, right? Just by not having identification or not even having basic skills in life to just move on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's almost like who's on first, right? Without an ID, no job. Without job, no ID. I mean, you can't break through that cycle if you don't have help, if you don't know how to do it.
That's very true.
How do you find that information out? How do you build that relationship where people open up and you get to see what it is that they're most in need of?
These are great questions. I mean, I think part of it does, you know, my expression that we use is the Queen Mary doesn't make a hard right. It doesn't happen overnight. It really does.
That went by me so hard. I've never heard that.
You've not heard that expression?
I don't know what it means, but we are talking with Carl Robillard, who's the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony's here in San Francisco, where the show is produced, as an example of the amazing work that is being done around the country and around the world, really based on and with the help, relying on volunteers to show up, to offer their few hours a day, a week, or a month to make this whole system of social services run around the country. Carl, can you reiterate that, what runs by Queen Mary?
The Queen Mary doesn't make a hard right. Now, of course, you could use that in many contexts in the Bay Area, but for St. Anthony's, what we mean is that it takes time. And a lot of times, you could work with someone 7, 8, 9 times, if not more, and there's something about the consistency of an organization that, you know, we're there 365 days a year. We don't miss a meal, and it will take time. So one example of, to answer that question, Sita, we recently implemented a pilot program where we brought our social workers into the dining room, because oftentimes the dining room staff have their hands full serving 3,000 meals a day. That's a huge thing. But people are starting to ask, well, I need this and I need that, and it's more than what we can do in a tray. So the social workers came into the dining room, and all of a sudden these needs became very clear.
That hunger for stability that you're talking about, 3,000 meals a day, but it is really from the social services, from the internet account, to be reconnected into a world that is moving forward,
right,
while many of your clients are kind of stuck in their daily situation.
Yeah.
Without the internet, without access, without knowing how to search Google for a job or for anything, it all relies on word of mouth.
Yeah.
And in that microcosm of a few blocks, that's usually not a good way to break out of that world.
It's very difficult.
I really love that notion that you guys saw the connection by bringing the social workers in at mealtime.
Yeah.
Because it is usually over food that connections are made, and that people feel brave and honest and open. And wow, did you use that to great success.
Yeah. Well, think about your own experiences in family reunions and dinners and, you know, dinner parties. Everyone congregates in the kitchen. And there's something about that you can take and apply to a situation like St. Anthony's.
Yes, we do want to hear more about the fantastic work that you do with St. Anthony's, but we also want to talk about the overall role in your 11 years with St. Anthony's that you have seen that volunteering does for the person who's volunteering, for the person who's volunteered to, and the institution, the importance for the institution, really all three parties relying on one another to make this world work and to offer, again, to feed that hunger for stability much more than just in the form of meals. Again, we're talking with Carl Robillard. He is the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony's. That's the St. Anthony's Foundation here out of San Francisco, and that's stanthonyssf.org. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back with more on volunteering, our today's topic in the show. Stay tuned for more.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds.
Are Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's freywine.com.
At Testa Epicurus Guild, we provide tea and coffee from the regions of the world known to produce the finest of their kind. Always certified organic and fair trade, we stand for exceptional taste and highest quality. Every cup of our tea and coffee is connected to the soil and the people working the land. We have searched the world for the best ingredients and invite you to enjoy Desta tea and coffee. Find Desta at your natural food store or online at Desta.com. That is D-E-S-T-A.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is volunteering, giving the gift of yourself. Many, if not most, of the social services offered around the country and around the world rely on or even depend on volunteers, especially this time of year. So we wanted to give this topic a full hour of our attention. And we are speaking with Carl Robillard, who is joining us in the studio here today with us, the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony, the St. Anthony Foundation out of San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, when I'm listening to you, Carl, I'm thinking, you know, how many volunteers do you have to have every day and every week? You know, how important is this type of help to the overall operation? And then how do you manage it?
Well, the idea of having volunteers is actually essential. I mean, there's no way we could run our, and really hardly any of our programs without that support. I mean, if you think about serving 3,000 meals a day, our volunteers in the restaurant speak are front of house, meaning they're waiters, they're bus people, they're servers. They also do a lot of the cooking and the prepping. So,
and that's just the meal portion, right? Before the break, we were saying you offer computer skills, job skills, social services, getting somebody an ID, medical help, so that, you know, 40, you can manage all that with just quote unquote 45 volunteers a day.
Well, that's just for our dining room, as you're saying.
That's
so
the 45 dining room. A day for the dining
yes.
room.
Yep. Okay. And then when you add our medical clinic, our technology training program, our social work center, you're looking at roughly 100 a day just to keep those programs going. So it is very essential.
And are those people who they come every week? I mean, what is the distribution like? Do you get like people who come on a regular basis, or do you get a different person every day? And how do you train them to have the skills to keep doing it?
Yeah, that's great. So we have about 10,000 individuals that come through per year. We have about 500 of those 10,000 are ongoing regular volunteers. And they're going to come anytime from once a week, occasionally more than that. The average is probably once a month. And they'll range from a retired person. There's all kinds of corporations these days that allow employees to volunteer one day a month. So we actually have a number of working folks.
Nice.
And then always, you know, we have a lot of high school students who come in. And that's a transforming experience for someone who lives in San Francisco and doesn't experience the Tenderloin.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked with the Ceres Project recently where they're having, are you familiar with the
Ceres
Project?
I know a little bit about them, yeah.
Yeah, they have teens who are coming and cooking meals for families and individuals
cancer
who
patients.
Are suffering from cancer and various other diseases. And they said the exact same thing. giving, that group, it's so powerful for them at that age to see the effect that their donation of time and, mm-hmm. and care can have.
But just to put the numbers in perspective, you are relying on 10,000 volunteers a year,
yep.
and you have 500 that are like employees that you can schedule and count on that are returning. So in other words, 9,500 you kind of hope for on January 1st to show mm-hmm. up by mm-hmm. December 31st. How do you do that? How do you run an operation where you actually don't know who's coming in? Is that experience?
It's we channel St. Francis.
that,
there's,
like, really?
There's that.
That's
and,
so great.
It is. It's
and 11 years of experience yeah, must help
exactly.
in your case. But
well, and,
really,
and
how do you do
it? It's the agency. It's really 63 years. I mean, I think they've referred to St. Anthony's as the miracle on Jones Street, in part because it has a Franciscan founding, but also the very first meal we served on October 4th, 1950, we expected to serve about 150, and we served 300. So that same spirit that you're asking about was alive and well then. And it was actually mostly volunteers who came in to set the dining room up. The local union electrical workers in 1949 gave of their time to make this happen. So there's something in line with the show Organic about the way people want to be of service. So while we have to plan it, we can trust that folks will step up.
And you are in charge of, if they don't show up, your job is, on the line.
Yeah, exactly. They look at salary. And, no, I'm quite kidding about that.
But it is your job to bring in those 9,500
yeah,
that are not scheduled. How do you do that?
We use social media a lot. So we use Facebook and Twitter. We use word of mouth a lot. And then, we trust that once folks have that experience, they're going to
yes.
tell their friends and family. And I think those three channels really help us
and
out.
And then the occasional amazing radio show.
Yes. and traditional, yes, media is a huge way of us get our message
well,
out.
Well, and
absolutely.
we will get their Facebook and their Twitter sites up on our Facebook page so people
great.
Can follow and find
yes,
out
that's facebook.com/anorganic conversation. Check it out for other resources on where to volunteer for these holidays. And what if you do? Do you have an anecdote? If somebody is scheduled or a group is scheduled and they actually don't show up? Does that ever happen? Really?
I'm glad you're asking because this actually happened last week. Now, as a big Giants fan, you'll never hear me complain about us winning the World Series ever. But it does present challenges. I'm sure many San Franciscans last Wednesday after we won the World Series and there was the parade, all kinds of things stopped. So that
oh, yeah, the city
day,
was locked down, right?
It was in gridlock.
Across Market Street,
yeah.
you couldn't
yeah,
pass.
The market was
the
like the Great Divide.
Exactly.
What happened?
Well, we had worked very hard to get actually a executive group from PG&E who many of the PG&E employees had volunteered, so they were really excited to send their executive management team, had planned for months, and we had planned with them to make this happen. And that Sunday when we clinched the World Series, we realized all of a sudden this could not happen. I mean, they physically were not going to be able to get from where they were in the financial district 1 mile away to St. Anthony's. So we had no help.
You don't think PG&E knew all that and they kind of wanted a day off?
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Half a year out. No,
yes.
Shout out to PG&E for that.
Yeah, that's
volunteer
so
work.
Cool.
That's wonderful. So you were stranded
cool.
with how many?
We had no volunteers.
Missing?
I mean, we were counting on their whole group. And
which
they
is how many people?
In the dining room, that was about 45 people.
Uh-huh.
So we blasted out on Facebook. And when we talk about volunteering, I really do want to mention this. There are many situations, this being one, where actually the folks who eat in our dining room will flip and also be willing to work and volunteer.
You're kidding.
And so this
really?
Idea of service translates to anyone walking in that door. So that particular day, I mean, we relied on staff, we relied on neighbors, we relied on our guests themselves.
But you pulled it off.
And we got it done. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a wonderful day. It was Halloween, so it was pretty fun.
That's Carl Robillard, the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager of St. Anthony. That's St. Anthony SF.org. Check it out if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, or go to facebook.com/anorganic conversation. For resources more local to wherever you may be listening to the show. Carl, we want to talk about the philosophy of volunteering and what you have experienced in 11 years plus of this work. Again, what it does to the person that is volunteering, to the person that is receiving services, that open ear, again, bringing, helping to still the hunger for stability much more than just food. In light of and on behalf of and with the example of St. Anthony, but really, I believe those stories are true for most other, if not any other, organization that is doing fantastic work out there. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And before we continue the conversation with Carl, here's the weekly update from the world of produce with our on-staff produce expert, no less, but Mark Mulcahy. Mark, what's in season?
Well, it is the time of year where people are almost thinking about their Thanksgiving menu, right? It's like if they haven't started thinking about it, they're starting to think about it. And so today, Earl and I thought it'd be good to kind of go over all those main ingredients that involve produce. You know, what are they? Are they going to be available? Are they not going to be available? You know,
perfect.
What kind of things can help our listeners?
We could have a whole show about that.
But well, we could. But today, we're just going to do a what's in season. So
sure.
Today, as always, we have Earl Herrick, the voice of the market from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco. Go on the line to give us an update on, gosh, everything from yams to cranberries. Earl.
Hey, Earl.
Hi, Earl.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so this is what we call the prolific food holiday. I mean, this is, you know, when you say, you know, what's in season, it almost feels like everything's in season.
Yeah, you know. And this must then be your favorite time of the year. as with every week.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, especially, you know, Mark and I come from the retailer point of view, and for retailers, I think Mark used the term Super Bowl of holidays.
Yes, yeah, for produce, for sure.
Exactly, because the produce, well, you know, they point to this holiday, and it's the highlight of creating large displays and seeing what their department is capable of moving, and everybody enjoys winning. And for the produce department, when you move a lot of stuff, that's a big win.
Well, walk us through the produce department. What's good right now with the Thanksgiving meal in mind?
Well, you know, there's a couple mainstays, of course. You're talking, well, let's start with potatoes and yams and onions. These are three items we call kind of hardware. And those kind of things, first of all, it's a great season. You know, there's been just a certain amount of rain, perfect amount. Supply is strong. Prices are going to be very good. If you're looking for something to promote and to stock up on, get medium-sized russet potatoes or what we call bales, which is a plastic, will have 5 or 10 pounds in it. That's and those items are the items you want to buy ahead, meaning maybe the weekend before Thanksgiving, you want to stock up on those hard items.
Well, even Earl, actually, if you bought a bag of potatoes, since it's all fairly new crop, I mean, you know, because they're storage potatoes, but, I mean, you could buy a bag of russets a week and a half or 2 weeks ahead, right?
Well, that's very true, no doubt about it. Yeah, and we're talking, like you said, 7 to 10 days. Hardware would be onions, potatoes, and yams.
Winter squash, too?
Absolutely, and butternut, of course, is one of the most popular because you use it in, I know I always like to get I don't do a pumpkin pie, I do a butternut pie.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And they're the best. And so, yeah, that for sure, and that's very promotable. Great supplies there. But let's move over to some of the softer veggies. And, you know, you always get a side dish, and you try to make it special. It could be asparagus, could be Brussels sprouts.
Green bean casserole.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Green bean casserole.
No, green beans is kind of like the item you judge whether or not you're successful as a produce guy. If you can have beans in Thanksgiving, you hit a home run. And there's three areas that are going to produce beans out here in the West. That's the local market right around San Francisco out in Stockton. Then there's down in the desert in Coachella. And then you're going to have the Mexican. Obviously the Mexican and the Coachella are items they're going to ship all over the country. And everything's in good production. You don't really know, especially on the California, up until about a week before, because if you get a late rain, it'll knock it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is good production leading up to the holiday.
So Earl, on, you know, when you're looking at the kind of the forecast for most of the items, mm-hmm. beans, Brussels sprouts, celery, obviously if you got a late storm or something that could affect it. But what you're seeing, what I'm hearing you say right now is that they're in good supply. People should be able to find them if the weather holds out. And potatoes are abundant, and winter squash is abundant and a good price. And what about things like cranberries, that, you know, that staple of the Thanksgiving table?
Yeah, cranberries represent a whole unique item. in the organic world, cranberries have always been a bit tight. We're going to see a tighter supply this year. And most people are talking about production problems. Now, that's a big area. I know one grower ran out of money, when was unable to get some material that they needed, and thus he couldn't protect his crop. Other folks are getting very good money in the production end, meaning that they don't have to harvest it and package it. They can just send it all to production, which will make cranberry sauce and other things. So we're going to see less fresh supply. So my suggestion there is to buy now, and you can freeze them, mm-hmm. so you don't have to worry about running out Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you see the aisles on literally the day before, and there are some things that you do want to get fresh and you meet, but lots of these produce items, so some of them freeze well, and berries is one of them, right?
Well, cranberries freeze really well, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I would shop early in the morning. Whatever day or days you want to shop early. The produce departments are making great, huge supplies with real fresh product, and there's less foot traffic, and you have a better opportunity of interacting with your butcher or your produce for getting recipes or getting the cut of meat that you want. So shop in the morning.
Nice.
There was one other thing, and that is every year one of my favorite items in this time of year is Satsuma mandarins. And we are looking at another great year. The main guy that I deal with out here just north of Sacramento has just started picking, and he's going to have product into me by the weekend. That means it's going to be in the stores next week, and it'll be steady supply.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing bowls of Satsuma mandarins on the table so that throughout the day you're snacking but trying to keep it light because you're going to eat a huge meal later. You can always have mandarins all day.
And Earl, is that true for the entire country? That is, this is a fair year for mandarins?
Well, you know, mandarins is pretty much a West Coast item. Much of the country has never eaten a Satsuma, I'm so sorry to say, other than the folks that I send holiday gifts to. a lot of production of other types of mandarins are coming out of Florida. That could be a honey tangerine, but a Satsuma itself is really a West Coast. But the East Coast is going to source Florida for other kinds of varietal citrus.
And, cool. and that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Earl, for being on today. And I just want to let our listeners know that everybody has opinions about when things should be eaten and things shouldn't be eaten. And so you probably won't find Satsumas on my holiday table. But, you know, for some of you who can't wait, that's probably a good thing for you to buy.
Thanks so much, Earl. Such
Thanks,
great
Earl.
Tips.
Appreciate it.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you next week.
Happy holidays already.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And Mark, speaking of Satsumas, my favorite is pixies. When can we expect them?
You're
now, December?
Looking more like January.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's late. You need to wait for them.
Okay. You groan every year. He tells you this every year. You have to wait until January.
I can't rush them.
Yes. And you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm in Pixie World. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And with us here in the studio is Carl Robillard, the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony Foundation, San Francisco, California. That's stanthonysf.org, providing 3,000 meals and job training and other social services and even medical services to clients for what now called 60 years?
62 years.
62 years here in San Francisco. As an example of the many, many, many thousands of institutions in this country and around the world who rely on volunteer work and to offer social services that otherwise are not provided in this form with the help and really through the work of people like you and me showing up and offering a few hours a week or a day or a month or a year to help out. Volunteering, the topic on today's show. And Carl, we talked before the break about the reliance on labor, on volunteers.
You were saying that you, on a daily basis, have 45 people that serve food, but you have 100 people who volunteer because you have all of these other services. And although you get 10,000 people across the entire year, only 500 of those are people who make a regular commitment. 9,500 come maybe once or twice a year. So, and I love the story that you were telling about PG&E coming as a team, because, you know, there are a lot of team building events that people think to do to grow stronger relationships within their work.
So
if
true.
Their team building was volunteering, think right. about how much more volume you would get in your your services. But speaking of volume, I want to talk about the holidays, because I do know that particularly at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, people want to volunteer. They think this is a great way to be of service on a very important holiday. And yet you guys are already booked for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That books so fast. Do you have more need during the holidays, actually?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, I want to always be clear. St. Anthony's loves our volunteers. You know, we want to always encourage people to get involved. But your questions are very good. And the truth is, there is a higher demand in that we do need more help over the holidays. We need more people to walk through those doors. However, there's an equally higher and sometimes an inability for us to keep up with the demand of people who do want to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we really, it's a complicated and a good question in that we want to be very fair and offer anyone who wants to be there, you know, first come, first serve, the chance to volunteer. But we do know that during that 1 month, we generally will turn people away, particularly for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Well, and you made a really interesting comment during the break that I would love for you to say on air, which is that on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you don't actually serve more meals.
It's relatively the same. And we serve an average of 3,000 meals a day. We may be a little bit higher, 3,100 or 200. What we also want to do is have an elaborate and very comfortable and very welcoming meal. Mm-hmm. One major difference.
To make it special, of course.
A very special meal. I mean, the food is delicious. There's no doubt about that. But in a normal day, folks will walk in and serve themselves. That's an exception to that, as if you're senior or disabled. But if you're not, and you can, you would walk in and get your own tray. Over these holiday meals, we want to provide table service. Mm. So we really do some extra touches to make sure that people have a wonderful meal.
Well, and listening to what you're saying, that there's a need throughout the whole year for lots of volunteers at other different times, it makes me think that maybe we could create like Thanksgiving in May.
I love that idea. Thanksgiving May would be wonderful. I mean, one, it breaks up the monotony of, you know, a month has very few holidays, but two, something that most folks don't realize is our busiest day of the entire year is Memorial Day. And there's several reasons for that, but that's also the day that we have the hardest time finding volunteers.
Because everyone is gone?
Going for the long
weekend. It sort of speaks to camping and things that, you know, we all love to do. But that's a day where our demand for services cannot meet the number of volunteers. So,
really?
And then what do you do on that day?
Again, I mean, we know this with some history.
Just
so we really reach out
some other people
folks
who always show up and
right.
come through.
But I think an important message is that, you know, while volunteering on Thanksgiving to Christmas is so good, you can do that almost any day of the year. And there are, in fact, days that we really need the help.
And I was just saying, it makes sense if people want to volunteer over the holidays, because that's when they're off, even though there are companies now that allow people to, you know, spend a day, a month or so volunteering for a great cause. It does make sense that if the holidays where it's about sharing and giving and, you know, especially food related holidays, that people would volunteer. But interesting to know that actually the one that has the greatest demand is the summer months, in this mm-hmm. case, Memorial Day, where you actually never fill up. So that's
right.
Good to know for next year.
Well, and I think that Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Labor Day, which are holidays that a lot of companies give off, people are always wondering,
right.
why do I get
it
this day off
work.
And what can I do to be in service of the reason we honor this day and volunteer?
Those are three great examples of days where we do need the help.
That's wonderful. And it is a holiday. So, you know, that's if you pick one of them every year. And as you said, St. Anthony, with all the services it provides, we were talking before the show a little bit, you and I, Carl, that the skill set is almost whatever you love to do, right? If you love animals, you can absolutely go to an animal shelter and walk dogs, if that's really what you enjoy, for 2 hours, because you will make the day of a four-legged friend. And we had a great show, The Gentle Barn, I think last fall.
Yeah,
last
October,
year, fall,
last year.
Exactly. They're looking for volunteers. All these great institutions doing this great work. Really, any time of the year, really, with those hot days, of course, for you in your case, somebody can give 2 hours a year and change somebody's four-legged or two-legged individual or being stay or life, really. We want to talk about the impact volunteering has on both the person being served as well as the one who is serving, and you I know you can speak from your own experience, having come to this line of work through your experience working in a place that provided support for dying people. But we're going to take a quick break again. Carl Robillard with us today, Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony. That's stanthonysf.org in this hour of an organic conversation as we're looking at volunteering, what it does to us in whatever position that may be. Did you like that, Mark? I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Wanderers this morning came by. Where do they go, graceful in the morning light? To Banner Fair, to follow you.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is volunteering, giving the gift of yourself. The beauty of volunteering is that there's almost no pre-required skill set necessary. Anyone can do it. And we're having a lovely conversation with Carl Robillard today, Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony in San Francisco, as an example for the fantastic work that is going on all across the country and around the world. Before we dive back into the conversation and hear about the impact volunteering has on all three sides, the institution and the institutional staff, as well as the people being served, as well as the people serving. First, here's our very own Sita Rani Palomar, Chef Sita, with her holistic bite.
Thanks, Thanks, Helga. Well, the holiday season is upon us, and I am already in planning mode. And fortunately, if you've listened through and heard Mark and Earl give their great tips about shopping and preparing early, getting to the store in the morning, whatever you can do to make that usual pressure, frantic feeling of cooking during the holidays lighter, maybe you want to begin now. Maybe now is the right time to start creating your menus, creating your shopping lists, and maybe making some food ahead. We had a great episode recently on easy organic meals that had all kinds of tips on things you can do to save yourself time and still have a really great quality meal. And some of my favorite tips, especially for holiday meals, soup, for example, if you're making, let's say, a pumpkin sage bisque, making it, you know, the flavor of soup gets better the longer it sits. If you give it 24 hours, the flavors will marry and it'll have a depth and intensity to it that it didn't have as soon as it was done. So make your soup maybe 2 or 3 days in advance and keep it chilled in the refrigerator. And then all you have to do is heat it up the day of your meal. You can also do things like cut your shallots and onions and your green beans and your mushrooms a couple days in advance. And the day before your meal, you can saute all of it, put it in a, you know, a closed container in your refrigerator. And then the day of your feast, all you have to do is combine it with your sauce and put it in your oven for green bean casserole. You can also cut your root vegetables in advance. So then that way you can par roast them the day before your event. And then the day of your feast, reheat them, finish off that cooking. And then if you want to mash them with a little bit of vegetable stock or almond milk or whatever you do to make it creamy, you can save yourself a lot of time by spacing out those tasks for getting your meal on the table. So do what you can, make your meal now, maybe do your shopping in the next few days, and do a little bit of food preparation every night when you get home from work before the day of your feast, so that when the day comes, you can really spend time with what matters, and that's the people you're sharing your meal with. That's your Holistic Bite.
Thank you, Sita, and the Holistic Bite, always brought to you by Echo Bella, offering a wonderful line of body care products and intelligent cosmetics.
Well, you know, what's up with that lavender spray?
The Echo Bella lavender spray?
The mist on toner,
oh, that's what
I think
it's called.
Is what you're
that's
talking
what
about.
It's called.
Yeah,
mist
you
on
know,
toner.
You can put a little spray on your face and it feels really cool and it smells great and it just makes you just feel good, you know, kind of instantly.
Yes, one pfft. I love that. It kind of tightens your pores. I know that's what it does, but yes, that's what it feels like instantly, yes, in a nice way.
Would
like
that be the tone part?
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, here's a little beauty insider tip. Yes, it is what a toner is supposed to do, but the nice thing about the Echo Bella toner is that they don't use alcohol to do it. They use apple cider vinegar, which is also a disinfectant, so you can use it on cuts and scrapes. You can also use it to cool a sunburn or to take the itch out of an insect bite.
Yeah. But yeah. Incredible, though. You really, it's this this little, what do you call it? Mist on toner.
Mist on toner. Mist and on it smells great. It's lavender and geranium and lemon verbena.
And you can use it for your face in the morning, but you can also try it on your entire body. Have you ever tried that, Mark?
I have not. I've missed that part, but I'll have to do that in the future.
Mist on. Yes, that's Echo Bella. And of course, all of Echo Bella products are preservative-free, gluten-free, and cruelty-free. That's why we love it. Check it out, echobella.com. Let us know what you think. That's ECCOBELLA.com. And that was Sita's Holistic Bite. Always delightful. Thanks, Sita.
Yeah.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And today's topic is volunteering, giving the gift of yourself with our wonderful in-studio guest, Carl Robillard, Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony here out of San Francisco. That's stanthonysf.org. Carl, we want to hear about the emotional component of volunteering and the inspiration behind it. What, in 11 years of your work, what does it do to the institution, which means the staff working, seeing that 9,500 people, in this case with St. Anthony, a year coming in that are new? Maybe some are, you know, coming back again, but that are basically unscheduled, that are new. What does it do to the people being served, and what does it do to the people serving?
Sure. You know, I think if I were to summarize that in two words, I mean, two of the hallmark words for St. Anthony's are dignity and respect, which really include anybody who walks in that door, whether you are a guest there to be eating a meal, whether you're a volunteer or a staff. So I think you know, I was looking through some of our archives before I got on the show, and I found an ad from the 50s that said Hungry for Hope. And it had this really great image that would be popular today and that sort of retro feel. And I think about that. That's so true today. And I think the hunger is about food, and people need that food and nourishment. It's a hunger for community, too. And I think most people would relate to that. You know,
connection, yeah.
A connection, a wanting to be with each other. I mean, you know, the dining room, there's no cell phones. I mean, not that it's anti-cell phone, but it brings that human connection together.
And in all directions, right?
All directions. Our guests who are there, the volunteers, the staff.
Do you have some stories to share of what that for some it may have been a life-transforming experience, Mark? You
well, I just wondered, you know, when you just said that, it could just be me, but I was thinking, you know, often we have an image of who is homeless and who needs help. And you just said cell phones, and that's making me realize that there's a larger group of people who are coming to St. Anthony for meals or for assistance than just someone who is homeless.
Often people imagine a homeless person, the person you see sleeping on the sidewalk. We do see folks in that condition. But there's about, you know, 15,000 either homeless or marginally housed folks who need our help. And even more so in a city like San Francisco, anyone could relate to this who's paying high rents. There's the housed but hungry. There's folks who almost 100% of their income is going to housing. So we do see folks who are working. We do see people who have jobs but need that meal.
And turning the cell phone off accounts for volunteers too. It's just you're just not on your cell phone when you volunteer. Not because it's an ethic issue, but you just don't want to. I would never check messages. You're so present. You're so sucked into that connection that is so apparent and clear happening already with everyone else that.
Yeah, I think you summarized it. It's exactly that. You're pulled into the human connection. You almost forget about some of those other things.
Do you have some stories that you can share that really moved you, that you remember?
Absolutely. I mean, that happens often, but I was thinking about this several years ago when I was working with a high school group. One of the hardest things, we call it herding cats, is getting the whole high school group from where we do a workshop with them where we talk about poverty issues so they really connect a larger societal mm-hmm. factor versus just an individual, and then they have the experience to volunteer. And at the end of the day, we bring them back, and these young people can reflect on what they just did. And I was having the hardest time getting one of the chaperones to come back, and that's what drives us crazy in the day-to-day. It's small stuff, but what ended up happening was this man, who was the father of one of the high school students, had bumped into his brother, who was estranged from the family, and they met at St. Anthony Dining Room. And I couldn't believe the whole impact it had, both on me, on the entire group of kids, and of course on the brother and this gentleman. And
So they had not seen or spoken
for over
in years.
A decade, as far as I understand.
He didn't know in what social condition he was in.
None. And he actually was doing okay, which was good. I wish I knew the end of that story. I don't know it beyond what I just explained, but those things happen. And you think of people that are homeless as like a separate entity, but you know, we all know people who have fallen bad luck or need that help. And I think there's this amazing connection that can happen.
Which I'm sure in 11 years of your work, you've seen dozens, if not hundreds of those pictures. It even happened to you on the way to the show, to the studio. Can you share real quick? We're almost out of time. But
it did. I love that story. I mean, I was waiting for you guys to open up the studio right through the lobby walked a gentleman who had graduated from our Father Alfred Center, which is our year-long drug and alcohol recovery program. And the reason he's in this building is he's helping with a construction site. So that's another thing. It makes you see these results and the success every day of your life, and it's truly an amazing
thing. The network is happening.
Yep. Absolutely. That stability is happening.
And that's Carl Robillard, the Communications and Outreach Senior Manager for St. Anthony here in San Francisco. If you're inspired to volunteer these holidays, please set a day aside, make your appointments now, sign up now for whatever day it may be, even into early next year. I'm sure January, people, St. Anthony and many, many, many other institutions here in the Bay Area in San Francisco or around the world, wherever you may listen to the show, need your few hours a year. And it's such a rewarding thing to do.
And believe it or not, that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation.
An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producers Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jen Lloyd, underwriting production Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you feel?
I will help you if I can.
All I need.